Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Channa Vallabha Giri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Channa Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Prachachana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prachachana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravana Chari Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Channa Vallabha Giri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Channa Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Prachachana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prachachana Ranjana Yamuna Chiravana Chari Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paribraja Vicharya Shtudra Sri 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 Matra Nava Swami Swami Vaya Seishi Bhakti Vananda Goswami Maharashtra Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Kuri Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Iskar Vibhiji Founder Acharya Swami Vaya Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai प्रेम सिंह श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री पैरगदाधार श्री श्री गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण प्रभु विनाशाय गुंड राधा गुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। मथुर धाम की जय, नवद्वीप धाम की जय, चंगापुरी धाम की जय, चंगन स्वामी की जय, वृंदावन धाम की जय, श्री माधव धाम की जय, अक्षदेव की जय, तुलसी महाराण की जय, गंगमय मुनमय की जय, कौपनंद हरि हरि बोल, श्याम वीर भक्तवृंद की जय। ओ ग्लोरी स्तुति असेंबली गौरीश, ओ ग्लोरी स्तुति असेंबली गौरीश, ओ ग्लोरी स्तुति असेंबली गौरीश, ओ ग्लोरी ओ ग्लोरी श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग ओ ग्लोरी श्री प्रभुपाद। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj. Oh, this Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, and we have text number 47 and 48. So which one is on the board? Is 48 is on the board. So I'll just read 47 by myself, and we'll read 48 together. Mahatvam mitchatang tirtham shrotu shilatayoguna yatra tejastarichuna mano yatra manasvinam. Translation. Anyone who hears this narration of Dhruva Maharaj acquires exalted qualities like him. For anyone who desires greatness, prowess or influence, here is the process by which to acquire them, and for thoughtful men who want adoration, here is the proper means. Purport. In the material world, everyone is after profit, respectability and reputation. Everyone wants the supreme exalted position, and everyone wants to hear about the great qualities of exalted persons. All ambitions which are desirable for great persons can be fulfilled simply by reading and understanding the narration of Dhruva Maharaj's activities. Okay, so the text number 48, Prayata Kirtayet Prata Sambaye Dvijanmanam Satyam Soisayam Punya Shlokasya Dhruvasya Charitam Mahat. Prayata Kirtayet Prata Samavayeti Janmanam Sayam Cha Punya Shlokasya Dhruvasya Charitam Mahat. Prayata Kirtayet Prata Samavayeti Janmanam Sayam Cha Punya Shlokasya Dhruvasya Charitam Mahat. Prayata Kirtayet Prata Samavayeti Janmanam Sayam Cha Punya Shlokasya Dhruvasya Charitam Mahat. Next, please. Krita Kirtaye Prata Samavaye Janmanam Sayam Cha Punya Shlokasya Dhruvasya Charitam Mahat. Prayata kirtayet vrata samavayet janmanam sayang ca punya slokasya duvasya cintang mahat Prayata kirtayet vrata janmanam Sayam chapunya slokasya Dhruvasya chintang mahat Prayata kirtiyat prata Samavayit manmanam Sayam chapunya slokasya Dhruvasya chintang mahat Prayata kirtayet prata Samavayet janmanam Sayang ca punya slokasya Duvasya cintang mahat Ladies Prayata kirtayet prata Samavayet janmanam Dhruvasya chintang mahat Prayata kirtayet prata Samavayet vijanmanam Sayang ca punya slokasya Dhruvasya chintang mahat Prayata With great care, kirtayet, one should chant prata in the morning, samavaye, in the association, dvijanmanam, of the twice born, sayam, in the evening, cha. Also, punya slokasya of sacred renown, dhruvasya of dhruva, charitam, character, mahat, great. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya recommended one should chant the character and activities of Dhruva Maharaj both in the morning and in the evening with great attention and care in a society of Brahmanas or other twice-born persons. Purport. It is said that only in the association of devotees can one understand the importance of the character and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotees. In this verse, it is especially recommended that Dhruva Maharaj's character be discussed in the society of the thrice born, which refers to the qualified Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. One should especially seek the society of Brahmanas who are elevated to the position of Vaishnavas. Thus, discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the character and pastimes of devotees of the Lord, is very quickly effective. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been organized for this purpose. In every center of this society, not only in the morning, evening or noon, but practically 24 hours a day, there is continuous devotional service going on. Anyone who comes in contact with the society automatically becomes a devotee. We have actual experience that many karmis and others come to the society and find a very pleasing and peaceful atmosphere in the temples of ISKCON. In this verse, the word Dvijanmanam means of the twice born. Anyone can join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and be initiated to become twice born. As recommended by Sanatana Goswami, by the process of initiation and authorized training, any man can become twice born. The first birth is made possible by parents, and the second birth is made possible by the spiritual father and Vedic knowledge. Unless one is twice born, one cannot understand the transcendental characteristics of the Lord and his devotees. Study of the Vedas is therefore forbidden for Shudras. Simply by academic qualification, a Shudra cannot understand the transcendental science. At the present moment, throughout the entire world, the educational system is geared to produce Shudras. A big technologist is no more than a big Shudra. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone is a Shudra. Because the whole population of the world consists only of Shudras, there is a decline of spiritual knowledge and people are unhappy. The Krishna consciousness movement has been started especially to create qualified Brahmanas to broadcast spiritual knowledge all over the world, for thus people may become happy. I'll just read the verses again. Mahadvami chacham chiyatam shrotam silatayo guna yatra chetestat ichunam manu yatra manashvinam. Anyone who hears this narration of Dhruva Maharaj acquires exalted qualities like him. For anyone who desires greatness, prowess, or influence, here is the process by which to acquire them. And for thoughtful men who want adoration, here is the proper means. Pratyaya kirtayet prata, prayata kirtayet prata, samvayet vi janmanam. Sayam chapunya shlokasya dhruvasya charitam mahat. The great sage Maitreya recommended, one should chant of the character and activities of Dhruva Maharaj, both in the morning and in the evening with great attention and care in a society of Brahmanas or other twice-born persons. Om Akyana Chimidandasya Kinanjana Sarakaya Chakshurunmira Chamina Chasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishthaya Putale Sri Mata Jaya Pataka Swamini Jinamini Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishthaya Putale Sri Mata Bhaktivedanta Swamini Jinamini Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachate Sicharine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, our classes start with so. Dhruva Maharaj, he's a very good example for us. And here it is being pointed out that we should actually talk about Dhruva Maharaj. And why is that? That's because Dhruva Maharaj, or many of us, or most of us actually, not that we are like Dhruva Maharaj, he was a great personality, but he shows the same example, like he also came to Krishna consciousness, like many of us did, with an impure motive, with a material desire. Like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, four kinds of pious people seek me, those who seek wealth, those who seek freedom from suffering, those who are just curious, and those who seek knowledge. So Dhruva Maharaj, he came to Krishna consciousness for the purpose of wealth. He was seeking wealth. Then, of course, when he saw Krishna, then he understood that what is all this wealth is useless. It's like broken glass. Because that's what happens when we realize Krishna and understand how wonderful and beautiful and all-encompassing he is, how friendly he is to his devotees. The heart becomes so soft that we forget all other things. We may come to Krishna, the Krishna consciousness movement, out of so many motives, wealth, position, fame. Like it says here, if you want fame, Dhruva is the example to follow. How do you become famous? Nowadays people, they think if they dress scantily and stand on a stage and bray, that they become famous. But that's not the way to become famous. Maybe they're famous on this little planet Earth, on this or in the West. Maybe people are famous in the West and they don't even know about them in India. Like, once I was teaching the senior boys in the Gurukul, I was teaching them history and I was giving the example of Donald Duck. You know, Donald Duck, he eats fried chicken. How sick is that, to portray a duck eating fried chicken? So I was giving that as an example how in the West they indoctrinate the young people, because everyone in the West, they grow up with Donald Duck. I remember myself, we got Donald Duck. Every Tuesday we got the magazine, and I just loved Donald Duck. And he was my hero, practically. So everyone in the West, all young people, they grew up with Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and these fantasy figures. And so I was giving this an example in the Gurukul, how the young people are being indoctrinated into eating meat in the West, because Donald Duck eating fried chicken. So then they were just staring blankly at me, the kids. What? Donald Duck? Who's Donald Duck? They actually didn't know Donald Duck. And that's such a nice thing about the Indian culture, that the kids, they grow up with real characters. They know everything about the characters of Mahabharata and all the Puranas, Bhima, Krishna, Arjuna. Every kid knows these persons, but they don't know Donald Duck. To see how elevated that culture is. And in the West, we grew up with these cartoon characters. But that's another thing. So, if we want real fame and glory, we should be like Dhruva Maharaj. He says, perfect example. And he was very elevated. He became realized already when he was 5 years old. Just a little kid out in the forest. And Krishna manifests himself to him. And Dhruva Maharaj became so jubilant. By the mercy of Krishna, he could offer great prayers. So, that's a famous person. He has his own planet, Dhruvaloka, the pole star. That's Dhruva's planet. And it's the only spiritual planet within the material universe. So that's fame. So, and also Dhruva Maharaj, then he became a pure devotee and he was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But still he became bewildered. Like at one time his brother was killed by some yaksha. And Dhruva Maharaj became bewildered by the mode of passion and started slaughtering yakshas. That's not exactly Krishna conscious, to just slaughter away another people. And they actually haven't done anything. It's just one or two yakshas who killed his brother, but he was slaughtering the whole race of yakshas. So just like we may also experience, not that we go out and slaughter people, but we may experience the onset of the most of material nature. We also become overwhelmed. sometimes, many times, by the most passion and ignorance. And Dhruva Maharaj, he also did that, so much so that Svayambhuva Manu had to come down and tell him, hey, take it easy now. Don't slaughter any more people. So that's so we also have that experience of being carried away by the modes of nature. And then the guru has to come and tell us, hey, concentrate on the real thing. What is the real thing? The real thing is, of course, Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada gives such a nice purport here about how to become properly educated in Krishna consciousness. Now, and he also says a very interesting point that this academic education doesn't elevate one to the position of a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. It's basically, it just makes one a Shudra. Like, it takes a great deal of intelligence to fabricate a computer and technology, a car or an atom bomb. Certainly it takes intelligence. But it is not real intelligence. What is real intelligence? We know everyone, we all know that the function of the intelligence or the definition of intelligence is to distinguish, to discriminate. So, to discriminate between matter and spirit, between the body and between the self, between consciousness and material, that's where intelligence begins. So, and it's also very interesting to notice that whatever we know, whether it be material things or spiritual things, whatever we know, we need to learn it from someone. Nobody knows anything unless somebody told them. Like we say, we may say, nowadays we know this and that, I know 2 and 2 is 4, I know so many things, but we only know these things because somebody told us, because we were taught. We wouldn't know how to read or write, or we wouldn't know numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We wouldn't know these things unless somebody had taught us. Somebody taught us these things. So this is a commonly established fact that to know any science, anything, you need to learn it from somebody who knows. But then when it comes to religion or spiritual matters, oh no, you can just speculate, you don't need. But that's the gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And it is also completely logical that to learn about God, about the existence, about the meaning of life, we also need to learn it from somebody who knows. Yagyacha intabidi pranipatina pariprasna seva. Gyaninas tata darshinam. That the truth can only be learned from those who have the truth. It's not something that we can just speculate. This is a very modern notion nowadays, that when it comes to God and existential matters, we can just speculate, no need to. There's no real any fixed established knowledge about that. That's just speculation. But when it comes to science and technology, oh, that is very, very elevated knowledge. But imagine you started speculating, and the teacher in the school, he was teaching you, so 2 plus 2 is 4. No, I think it's 5. Nobody would accept that. So, if that is true, even in ordinary material knowledge, how much more is that true when it comes to spiritual knowledge? And that's why Prabhupada again and again denounces speculation. He denounces speculation, mental speculation. And why does he do that? Because it is such an ingrained notion in the modern system, modern society, that material knowledge, that you have to learn, but spiritual knowledge, either it's not there or you can just believe something or speculate something. But that's not a fact. And Krishna, he clearly says, in the Bhagavad Gita that he can be known. Maya shaktamana partha yogam yon janmarasraya asangshayam samagram. He says, without doubt, asangshayam samagramam yagyashashtachrinu. That we can know Krishna without a doubt through the proper process. And what is the process? It is fixing our minds on Krishna in bhakti yoga, devotional service. Through that process of learning about Krishna by devoting ourselves to him, we can know Krishna beyond doubt. It's not a matter. Some religionists, they say, I believe. But we don't care about this belief. That's completely uninteresting what people believe in. Any idiot can believe in whatever he wants. The important thing is to what we know. What do you know? So we know stuff about God. It's a fact. The Vaishnava religion is the only religion in the world which can tell you who God is, how he looks, what he does, what the soul is, who the soul is, how and why Krishna has created the world, the meaning of all things. The Vaishnava religion is the only religion on the planet that has this knowledge available. And it's not a belief, it's something we have to learn, and it's something that can be realized. And this is the gift. Prabhupada speaks, he glorifies ISKCON here. He says, and that is of course the Prabhupada's energy. Prabhupada, he was just one single man traveling to the West and starting this whole movement. One man's energy. Surely, that can only be done by a personal association of Krishna. And that is Srila Prabhupada. Imagine how lucky we are to know somebody who knows Krishna. Imagine that. Sometimes Krishna may seem far away from us, but we know somebody who knows Krishna. Prabhupada was a personal associate of Krishna, and the whole parampara, they're all manjaris. They're all manjaris. Since Mahaprabhu, all the spiritual masters, we don't know Srila Prabhupada exactly what he was, but all we know the other acharyas, they're all manjaris, very intimate associates of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So that's really something. And they are the ones we are learning from. This is the knowledge that we have to pass on in society. This is such a great responsibility. Srila Prabhupada, he says here that in any town there's a temple where you can go and you can learn about Krishna. It's a fact. Nobody else. Many people, they have become antagonistic towards ISKCON, pointing out all the faults and mistakes. Surely there was many faults and mistakes, but what can you expect in this age of Kali? Kaler doshi nityarajan astihyeku mahaguna. Kali Yuga is an ocean of fault. It's an ocean of faults. It doesn't take any great intelligence to point out faults. Any brain dead idiot can point out faults, because there's enough to point out. It's nothing but faults. So real intelligence means to see beyond the faults, the beyond the faults of Kali Yuga, and see the good things. Prabhupada, he described four levels of intelligence. As we know, intelligence means to discriminate, to distinguish. So Prabhupada pointed out four levels. The first level is like a fault finder. The first level is you will only see the bad and you will only point out the bad. The next higher level of intelligence, because it takes a little intelligence to see bad things, you have to distinguish. But you only see the bad and you just point out the bad, that actually requires no brain. So a little more than that is to you distinguish between the bad and the good, but you emphasize the bad. You only worry about the bad things. You see both the good and the bad, but you emphasize the bad things. Then the next level up is that you see good and bad, but you emphasize the good. That's the level that we should all come to. You see good and bad, and you emphasize the good things. That's the Majjham Adhikari. And the highest level is the Uttam Adhikari platform, where you see only good. You don't even see any bad things. It's like an Uttam Adhikari. To him, everyone is a devotee. He doesn't see any Maya. He sees just Krishna's energy. Just to imagine what kind of vision that is. To just see Krishna's energy, nothing else. Of course, if we have to preach in modern society, we have to distinguish between the good and the bad things and point out the good and stay away from real bad people. That's the Majjham Adhikari. He will neglect the envious people. So that's a platform. At least we should come to that platform. Not being completely preoccupied by the bad stuff that goes on in the world and in ISKCON. Some devotees, they have even made magazines and they moan and they whine on the internet. Oh, this fault, that fault, this guru fell down. That guru fell down, this sannyasi did this, he said that. Who cares? It's only to be expected in Kali Yuga, all these mistakes and faults. Surely Prabhupada knew that all these things would happen. Sometimes they ask Prabhupada, wow, how can you give him the position of temple president? He's got a huge false ego and he mistreats people. Why do you allow him to be the temple president? And Prabhupada said, because he wants it the most. That was the genius of Srila Prabhupada, that he took these things, these material qualifications that we have, and he used it in Krishna's service. That's why he went to America. Nobody else but the Americans. You know, the Americans, they're number one on the planet. It's actually the number one empire on the planet. Nobody else could have spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. You know, imagine he had gone to Denmark or Germany. No way. But he knew exactly what he was doing. The Americans, they were very gung-ho. Yeah! Bruja! And that's how Krishna consciousness started. That's how it could spread all over the world by the enthusiasm of his young disciples. So genius Srila Prabhupada was to use everything in Krishna's service. And even if devotees, they had impure desires, he would use that in Krishna's service. What? So what if somebody wants to be a great big temple president with a lot of money and people to rule and rule over. Yeah, so Prabhupada used that tendency to spread Krishna consciousness. He knew that they would not last, that they would fall down. He knew that, but he had a higher vision, much higher vision. He had to establish Krishna consciousness in a very, very fallen, inimical society of Kali Yuga. So this is how he did it. And here we are reaping the results. Imagine nowadays, Hare Krishna is an established thing. You go to a dictionary, a Webster's dictionary, they have Hare Krishna, a member of the Hare Krishna movement. It's like Prabhupada said, it will become a household word, Hare Krishna. And it's so purified. And that's why Prabhupada says, we may doubt Prabhupada's words. Anyone who comes in contact with the Hare Krishna movement will become a devotee. He says that. And we see many people, they will just scoff when they see the devotees in the street. Crazy people. But if they hear the holy name, if they hear Hare Krishna, if they eat prasadam, their material life is finished. Maybe not in this life, then in the next life, they will come to Krishna. Because they heard the holy name, because they got some prasada. And this is what Hare Krishna is doing. This is what ISKCON is doing all over the world. Everywhere in the world, in every big city in the world, there's a temple, there are deities, there's prasadam distribution, there's Harinam. Imagine how wonderful that is. And this is all credit goes to Srila Prabhupada and his followers. It's just so fantastic when you think about it. This ISKCON, this Hare Krishna movement. It is purifying the whole world. And we should have no doubt, and we should be very proud that this is our movement, and we should, of course, this should drive us to become serious about our Krishna consciousness. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that we cannot take up Krishna consciousness 100% and become pure devotees unless we have realized the miseries of material existence. So that's why we preach like that. Sometimes people say, why are you so negative all the time, getting down on the karmis and material life and criticizing? What about all the good stuff? But there is no good stuff out there. The material world is all bad. We may say, but there's this and that, and it's very nice, and love and friendship. But in the spiritual sense of things, it's all completely useless. It's like and that's what education is all about. This is the education Srila Prabhupada has given us. The education, the knowledge of how to die. Because however good things are in this mature world, it all ends in death. So what's the use of it? My wife, my kids, my society, my friends, my love, my car, my dog. It ends in death, so it's useless. It's just like a person, say a person, a real good materialist, successful and rich, and nice family, kids, house, dog, car. And then the doctor tells him, you have 1 week to live. You have cancer, and it's terminal, and you have 1 week to live. If he knows that he's going to die in a week, then all his stuff will become irrelevant. He won't anymore worry about his kids, his wife, his rent. Oh, can I pay the rent or whatever? All this will become irrelevant. If you know you're going to die in a week, that's the only thing you're going to think about. And everything else it will become meaningless. Right? If you knew you were going to die in a week, would you think about, what your wife is doing tomorrow? No. You would be so completely overwhelmed, focused on this final moment. But we forget this is the situation we are in, all of us. We may not die in a week, but we will die. And in the modern society, people say, I know I'm going to die, why worry about the inevitable? But they just choose to forget about death, and live as if I'm never going to die. Yudhisthira said that in the beginning, when I heard that story the first time, how Yudhisthira, Yamaraj asked him in the form of some yaksha, what is the most wonderful thing in the world? And Yudhisthira says, the most wonderful thing is that I see everyone dying around me, but I still think I'm not going to die. So I didn't understand that at first. I understand. Everyone knows they're going to die. It's the only sure thing in the world. It's the only thing we know for sure is that I'm going to die. But the thing is, in modern society, the education is such that they teach people to forget about death. You can't anyway do anything about it, so just forget about it and live as if you were never going to die. So the devotional life is different from that. Devotional life teaches us how to die a worthy death. Not die in some hospital bed, completely, you know, tubed up to a machine. No. Because death is the final examination of all our knowledge and dedication. Everything will be tested at death. Like Krishna says, that the yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chacha jandikalevaram. Whatever thought you have in your mind at the point of death, this is where you will go. Imagine where people are going these days by the modern education. You know, if something bad happens to a person, a modern person, what does he say? Oh, crap. You know, so at the point of death, and he goes, oh, crap. Imagine where he's going. Where will that take him? So, but devotees, they learn to think, oh, Krishna, Krishna. That's what we are, this is where we are going, hopefully. Because it's not that we can just think what we like when we die. It would be actually Krishna's mercy what we think of. Because many people, they say, well, then I can just behave like any other thing and do what I want. And then at the point of death, I'll just think of Krishna. But that's not how it works. Because usually at the point of death, the whole life will... That's what we hear anyway. The whole life will be run past our mind. We will be fixed on what we have been trained to fix our minds on. So that's why it is so important to give this knowledge to people, this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, because it will save them at the point of death. Krishna. That is the only lasting, worthy thing to think of, is Krishna. He's the real hero and Krishna's devotees. What else is there in this life? Material life is just so completely useless. And still we are attached. I mean, I know you are not, but I am still attached. And it's just such a weird thing. We have this knowledge. So it shows how strong Maya is. And what is Maya? Maya is, after all, also just Krishna. As soon as we want to enjoy, that's the whole thing, that we want to become the active principle, but we are not, we are passive. Krishna, he's the only enjoyer, he's the only active principle in existence. And we are meant to be enjoyed by him, we are meant to be the passive principle. But we want to become like Krishna. We want to be like Krishna. The active enjoyers. And that's the illusion. And as soon as we want to be like that, Krishna says, he's so kind, he says, okay, no problem. And he gives you this perverted reflection of the Haladini Shakti. Maya is also Radharani. She's an expansion of Radharani. She's a perverted expansion. She's the illusion. The illusory energy. That's also Krishna. So we just have to train ourselves by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his followers and all the devotees. It is so very important to stay in the association of devotees to learn these things. And then gradually we'll just revert our mind and turn our minds more and more towards Krishna. And we won't think of all this nonsense. And we'll just think Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Radha Krishna. And we'll become allowed back into their pastimes. That's the gift that Srila Prabhupada gave us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions? Yeah. Right.
Four book out. And a plane came out of the fog. And I thought, this is it, we're all dead. I threw down my headset. I started thinking, mother, father, birthdays, dinners, Thanksgiving, graduation, this, that, and the other. I couldn't believe how much I thought of it.
Yeah.
In 1 second.
Yeah.
So I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable. Your life does flash.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, when the plane hits, big explosion, then it'll push me out. But it didn't hit. But I saw more in 1 second than I seen in 100 years.
So it's confirmed by this Prabhu that, and we have heard it so many times, I've read it in books, that the whole life flashes by in the mind at the point when you think of real danger or at the point of death. So that's what our education is, that's what we are being trained to do and educated to, that last flash of thought is going to be Krishna and not all this nonsense, material things. Why is it nonsense? I mean, it's real enough. This book, if I bang my head into that book, it'll still hurt. It does exist. So how is it an illusion? It's an illusion because in eternity, whatever, however big a chunk of time you take out of eternity, it is still the same minuscule nothing. We may live for, Lord Brahma, he lives for like 311 trillion years, as long as the whole universe lives. But in eternity, it's just an insignificant glimpse. That's how illusory material life is. Whatever we do, whatever we absorb, then it's just like a second in our real existence. That's why it's so important, this training that we subject ourselves to and we give to others. Yes, Prabhu?
Bro, I just wanted to ask, how does one keep, after hearing this wonderful message, how does one keep determination on the path of bhakti?
I was initiated by Hari Kesh, and he used to have a very good answer to that. He had the same answer to all how do we questions. Follow the process of Krishna consciousness. Follow your sadhana, chant Hare Krishna, eat prasadam, listen to the devotees, associate with the devotees. You do all these things will come. Then you will get the determination to preach, and you read, especially the most important thing is to read Srila Prabhupada's books, to study Srila Prabhupada's books. And you can see how eager Prabhupada is to give this knowledge to the world. So if we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we will also feel obliged to help him spread this knowledge. Prabhu?
Pass it to you next, I'm sorry. I wanted to give a little example. You made a nice point about this, especially about people who hear our philosophy, may kind of dismiss us maybe the first time. And so maybe as preachers you get discouraged because you think, well, why isn't it these big important people don't take it? But it's a question of purification, as we know, and it takes, you got to keep kind of purifying them. So I had this experience a few years back at the New Orleans. They are doing the Harinam, and I'm distributing books along with the Harinam. And I told the devotee, I said, look, don't give the books away. Make them give a donation, otherwise you're not going to really take it home. So I collected the books, and I was going to make them watch me do it. I said, people will give. Anyway, we get to a point where a man is standing there, and he's got his arms folded like this. You know, that typical look, like, do not bother me. But he's looking at the Harinam. So I decide, I'm going to go up to him to make a good example for everyone else to see. So I approach him, and of course he gives me that look like, he says to me, they're always coming to me with these books, all the time. You know, like he didn't want one. And so I said, you realize how many people never even hear Hare Krishna? What to speak of, see one of these books? I said, obviously, Krishna is trying to tell you something. I think you better take one. Finally, he reaches in, pulls out a dollar, and takes a book. But I mean, what it is like the first, you know, you have to, someone has to be the first one to approach them. Yeah. Maybe the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. By the sixth time, he's probably purified enough where he'll take one. So, you know, someone has to go through those stages. Some people are first, some people are sixth, some people take them right away. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much. Oh, sorry, Matsy. Oh. You're sitting all hidden over there. Oh, the mic is on, you just have to speak.
Is it on now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to thank you for bringing to our attention again how the mercy that Srila Prabhupada showed to all of us. How it was, in spite of our disqualification, he was always ready to engage everyone. And I think at this time in the movement, we may be going a little bit the other way with the pendulum, not really keeping a balance where we show so much discrimination. Oh, well, not him, not her. Does she have this? Does she do this? You know, so much. Maybe we're a little bit overcautious. And I was grateful that you were reminding us about Srila Prabhupada was actually so merciful to us. We had no qualification whatsoever. And had he not given us a chance to do something right, who knows what would have happened, right? So I wanted to thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada knew that whatever you do for Krishna, for whatever reason, it will purify you and become a jewel. The jewel of pure devotional service. Rajendranandan Prabhu, you want to say something?
Please. Thank you very much. A ton of good points in this class. I really like the four types of intelligence you repeated also. When you were emphasizing the stupidity of simply becoming absorbed in the false, suffering is inflicted upon me, just that, and, you know, you emphatically said, who cares? Now, the people who might care are the ones who have it inflicted upon them. And when you said that, I remembered a number of examples I've heard devotees say that they had so much problems or so much anger or so much built up inside, over boiling. And when they would come into Prabhupada's room, in just a few moments, they realized that it was all just a big, yeah, nothing. The fog dissipated in his presence and the shining sun was there. They realized, chant Hare Krishna, like Mother Kalunga said, and all the problems are solved. But the reason why I brought this up is sometimes we appear to be callous, and I wonder if sometimes we are callous, because Prabhupada had the potency that by his example, his love, sometimes it would just go like that. For some of us, we don't have that purity, and do we care whether others have suffered and how best to help them get over it? Because all of us have to ultimately forgive and get over it to carry on in advancing in Krishna. So that was a thought, if you want to bounce off it.
No, but it's so true, and it's a sign of immaturity to be in callous or callous towards devotees. And sometimes we even use the philosophy to, oh, this is just material, to kind of dismiss people's worries and problems. But as we become purified, we will actually become real well-wishers of all living entities, what to speak of the devotees, and we'll start to care about the devotees and understand how important, how fortunate we are to have their association. I mean, we hear it again and again, it's practically on every page. Srila Prabhupada writes how important it is to associate with devotees. He emphasizes so strongly this point about association. So we should think about that, you know, sometimes when we have problems with a devotee or, oh, this idiot, we may think. But we should understand how lucky we are to be in an association of devotees. And any devotee, it doesn't matter what level he's on, anyone who comes to Krishna consciousness is such a special soul. Such a special, unique soul. Out of billions and trillions of souls, it's only very, very few. who will understand, try to understand Krishna and become lovers of Krishna. So, I mean, I think it only comes with purification and with experience in devotional service. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Grantarashima Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.